passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to your Post Daily News Show for Friday, May the 27th. I am John Pollock. He is waiting. We are going into the weekend, a packed weekend in professional wrestling leading into Double or Nothing on Sunday night. Are you prepared, Wei?
I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm excited. It's a big weekend. Absolutely. And it's also the Monaco Grand Prix as well, so I'm very excited for that. I got a very full Sunday.
That's right. Do you have any... Who's your favorite to win on Sunday?
So they just did some free practicing, and Charles Leclerc did have the best time. But, I mean, it's practice, so I don't know how much that necessarily means. I'm still betting on Max.
All right. How about this? Over or under for Lewis Hamilton, sixth place. Will he sixth achieve place? Higher or lower than sixth place?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to say higher. I'm going to say higher.
Higher. Okay. So it could be a very good weekend for Lewis Hamilton. The rebuild has begun for Mercedes after last week.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. It's a very interesting race. I mean, you know, for new fans, I mean, it's very much, I would say maybe in terms of prestige, like maybe on the level of like a Madison Square Garden, you know, this race. So I'm very excited.
Yes. So that's happening Sunday morning, 9 a.m., I believe.
Yeah, our time. Yeah.
Yes, our time. All right. We have plenty of news to get into. If you want to check out all of the latest news happening, postwrestling.com, your go-to spot. And tonight we will be live at 10 Eastern for postwrestlingcafe.com members with Rewind, a SmackDown. Wei and I will be sharing our thoughts on SmackDown and Rampage. I will be going one-on-one with Time to try and tackle a 6:30 p.m. Rampage. This is our first 6:30 p.m. Eastern start time for Rampage, correct? We've done 7. We've done 5:30. I don't think we've had 6:30 before. We're going to see how this one works.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think we've had that yet.
I'm trying to pull it off. I think if the world's in alignment, this will not mess up, but we will find out. But let's get into it. The interesting note is WWE has taken Money in the Bank. And apparently it was not Money in the Bank that they would be holding an event at Allegiant Stadium on July the 2nd. Instead, they have moved it to the smaller MGM Grand Garden Arena. And what a massive move this is when they are refunding all the tickets and putting them all back on sale next week, with those that had previously purchased tickets getting access to a pre-sale. Of course, to do such a pre-sale, you require a password that is probably going to spread beyond people who had tickets to the Allegiant Stadium show. And on 5 weeks' notice, they are pretty much like scrapping the Allegiant Stadium card and starting from scratch, putting tickets on sale. And on top of that, Wei showed the original artwork and promotional material for Money in the Bank, a stark difference to the updated one. On the original, you see Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, even Bobby Lashley and Becky Lynch, none of which are reflected on the new promotional material.
Sasha Banks, let's not forget as well in the background.
Yes,
right,
yes, Sasha Banks, stunningly, yes, not in the new poster either. So yes, she is off. And I mean, I would not say that means 100% those names are not going to be in some form or fashion on this show. It could be just up in the air, but I think very notable when you're taking several of your major stars and they are not featured here on the new promotional material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the very least, maybe a TBA as far as, you know, some of those names. Certainly an interesting move. You know, of course, we've already had the promotion for this event with Cody walking around Allegiant Stadium talking about how big of a deal
they got to scrap the commercial.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just do a dubbed version to say the original. Like, he's literally inside of the stadium. Like, you have to scrap that whole commercial.
I mean, much
of probably not an inexpensive day of production shooting that.
That is right. Yeah, much of the draw was the fact that this was going to be in a stadium, one of several stadium shows, as part of Nick Khan's new strategy, or at least, you know, a desire of wanting to do more stadium shows this year. So a move like this coming this late into the game, unfortunate for all the people who are already planning their weekends and already maybe, you know, some people maybe got front row seats and all of a sudden now have to give those up and have to line up in queue again to try to buy these tickets again.
Which is probably not an insignificant amount when you're talking about travelers. Wait, this was promoted around this. 4th of July weekend. We're going to have so many people in Las Vegas. That was the whole strategy of running this weekend. And after, I would say, a very successful SummerSlam last year at Allegiant Stadium, that I am sure 5 weeks out, oh, sorry, we are now going to move this over. Of course, everyone is looking at the ticket performance for the Allegiant Stadium show. And WrestleTix had put out that, you know, by their estimate, the latest, you know, setup was for around 24,000 or so, with just under 18,000 tickets out. Now, when we say tickets out, that does not mean tickets sold. That means tickets that have also been comped and distributed, like all means of tickets that are out in the market. So the actual paid amount, you know, you would certainly imagine that it's at least over the capacity of MGM, because they are putting all these tickets back on sale. It's not like we're just comping it one for one that, hey, if you had enough tickets sold at Allegiant Stadium that fit into the MGM Grand setup, you wouldn't have to go through this whole thing and this process. It's, to me, this would be a last resort of just understanding that there was a major issue with running this stadium and how we feel we would perform in it, because this is a giant, giant amount of strain on your fan base.
Absolutely, yeah. How much do you think that they would have done, you know, at this rate, if they kept it in the stadium? Like, is it such a far number from making that place look full enough for television that they would go as far as to do this right now? Is this really the answer that we're looking for about why they're choosing to do this?
I mean, obviously, you have to look at that as like that, like the optics of running it. Like, the setup being 24,000-25,000, like, Allegiant Stadium can hold a lot more than that. It's a big stadium. It's a football stadium. So it's not as though 25,000 was like, that's just what they were hoping to try and get. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they could have figured, like, we could have just totally flooded the market and papered it to make it look presentable. But I think that comes with a lot of negativity too, especially if you want to come back. And like, obviously the decision was made that this was not a tenable solution, and it's just easier to go to a smaller venue.
And do you believe that, you know, some this has to do with maybe the name value of a Money in the Bank versus a SummerSlam? Is it the fact that we don't exactly know what the card is yet at the moment? Is there an explanation for why these ticket sales might be a bit softer?
I guess you have to look at all of those factors. You don't have a match to promote. Obviously, Money in the Bank did not, on a grand scale, feel like a big stadium event like SummerSlam did last summer. And you also had, that was the immediate return to live events. So you probably had a hungry fan base that was excited to go to wrestling, that probably it's much more in the norm now to be able to attend live events. Do you put any of this on the fact that they are running the same night as the UFC? I didn't see that as being a big issue, being the same night. It's not like to me, it's not a Conor McGregor card that I think would siphon off more of your wrestling audience that is in Las Vegas for that weekend. But all of those are factors. And just for comparison purposes, the MGM Grand Garden Arena, when AEW sold it out, they put about 12,000 people into that arena. So that's with a comparable wrestling setup, depending on the different production setup for WWE. But that's kind of the number you're probably shooting for at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. So a major downscale from Allegiant Stadium.
And we don't know anything as yet about maybe average ticket price in an MGM Grand versus Allegiant Stadium.
I have not seen any ticket prices yet for what they've restructured. I have seen just the dates. Like next week, they're doing the pre-sale for all the people that had bought tickets previously is Wednesday. And then there's a bunch of pre-sales on the Thursday and the public on sale is Friday. So, I mean, in theory, if you have spent your money to plan a trip for this event, I think you would be maybe not, but I would say begrudgingly, you're probably getting back in line and trying to get tickets to this event because that was the center of your destination.
And hopefully you're checking your email, because if you happen to be one of those people or if this somehow went to your spam folder, you think you have tickets to the show and you end up not having it, that would kind of suck.
Yeah. And as well, like it will be very interesting to see what the lineup is on this show. Like what is the talent situation for this now arena-based event instead of a stadium level one? And if this gives any pause for WWE when it comes to their stadium plans, which seem to be growing. And, you know, it's not a case of like selling out is not the determining factor of a success, but can we sell enough tickets that it, number one, is a profitable venture for us, and number two, that we are happy with the optics of how it looks like. If you can make money off of 20,000 people in a 60,000 seat stadium, great. But is there also the perception of, you know, a third or even half of a stadium empty that we're running at, that this makes more sense inside of an arena where, you know, I'm fairly confident they will put 12,000 in for Money in the Bank at MGM. Mm-hmm. Across the street from UFC that night at T-Mobile Arena.
That is correct. Yeah. Short walk away. So
they couldn't go to T-Mobile with UFC booked that night. So you will have competing events across the street from each other.
I mean, I say short walk, but really like what looks close in Vegas is actually a whole city block. So it'd probably take you a good 15 minutes to walk from one building to another. But
yes, if you're ever covering an event at one of the arenas, always book your hotel at the same side. Don't book it across the street, because it's a lot to have to navigate every day,
especially in that heat at that time in July
with camera equipment.
Oh, awful.
Yes. So that's the latest on Money in the Bank, and we shall see if Roman Reigns is on that show. Like, they have started this program with Riddle, that would be the obvious destination for it, and we will see based off television where they move forward with that. Next up is the latest involving Kota Ibushi and New Japan officials. Takaki Kidani, the founder and president of Bushiroad, and New Japan president Takami Obari spoke to the media on Friday, holding a press conference. And I'm just going to read the English translation that New Japan has placed on its website. And this is Obari commenting to the media and public that was in attendance. He says, "Today, on behalf of New Japan Pro Wrestling, I would like to address recent claims made by Kota Ibushi. Starting on May the 10th, Kota Ibushi began releasing statements critical of certain members of New Japan's staff on Twitter. Firstly, I would like to deeply apologize for the concern these comments caused amongst fans and personnel. The statements posted on Twitter included screenshots of a text conversation with a member of staff who they do not identify as Kikuchi, but just refer to him as official, that included a threat that Ibushi's contract would be terminated. On investigation, we ascertained from the individual concerned that these screenshots were indeed genuine. I would like to take a moment to explain the series of events that led up to the aforementioned post to the extent of our current understanding. Kota Ibushi is a wrestler exclusively contracted to New Japan Pro Wrestling. As such, it is understood that in order to devote full attention to New Japan matches and associated events, he is required to inform and receive express permission from New Japan before outside appearances. On March 4th, in breach of the terms of his contract, Mr. Ibushi made an appearance seconding wrestlers at a Just Tap Out event. The aforementioned official is responsible for contacting various wrestlers contracted to New Japan, but also has a long personal history with Mr. Ibushi that extends far before him becoming an exclusive contracted talent. The official contacted Mr. Ibushi in the belief that Mr. Ibushi's actions in breach of his contract were taken deliberately to persuade New Japan to terminate its agreement with him. Perceiving this as a betrayal of personal trust established over a number of years, his messages were sent in an emotional state as a result. When I myself learned of Mr. Ibushi's appearance, by the way, are you getting used to this Mr. Ibushi title?
I suppose so. Yeah. It may be a new gimmick for him, Mr. Ibushi.
He says that, this being Obari, I requested a full status report from the official. Therefore, it's possible that the official's contact with Mr. Ibushi also involved the desire to find out the exact particulars of the situation to relay to myself. I'm just going to skim down here. In a brief meeting with Mr. Ibushi, we chatted while we conducted some light exercise as we moved on the mat, participated in some jump training. I was amazed at his superhuman physical abilities, yet Ibushi confided that he found recovery from his 2021 shoulder injury was taking longer than he had expected and that his range of motion was far from ideal. After our conversation, Mr. Ibushi took me by car to a restaurant where we continued our conversation. And he continued to speak there, and he says, just skimming to the end part here. Several weeks later, on May 10th, screenshots of the conversation on the LINE service were made public. These were the messages between Ibushi and Kikuchi. I have since learned that those tweets were made when Mr. Ibushi was acting in a state of concern for his mother, with mental distress being caused by this situation. Mr. Ibushi told me that after discussing the details of his situation with his mother on May 8th, she attempted suicide on May 9th and suffered a broken bone in her back as a result. After the series of Mr. Ibushi's tweets were posted, a meeting was held on May 10th, including our company's legal staff, in order to understand the particulars of the situation and to determine the best possible course of action for both New Japan and Mr. Ibushi. We determined that said best course of action would be to directly meet with Mr. Ibushi to formally apologize and hear one another's opinions before making a public announcement, should one be deemed necessary. Mr. Ibushi's actions in attending an outside event without proper procedure, as well as publicly disclosing internal affairs, were actions in breach of his contract, and after consideration of the particulars I previously mentioned, an appropriate penalty for Mr. Ibushi will be determined. However, the words of the official in his text conversation, this referring to Kikuchi, were inexcusable, especially in their direction to a wrestler who risks his life in order to fulfill his role as a professional. It is this mindset that directly led to Mr. Ibushi posting his critical tweets about the company. For the thoughtless content of these messages, we fully and unreservedly apologize to Mr. Ibushi. Despite the official's lengthy relationship with Mr. Ibushi, the lack of consideration shown to him, and by extension, our wrestlers at large, should also be met with an appropriate penalty. They did open this up to members of the media to ask questions, and one was asked about further details on what these penalties would be. And it was suggested that Ibushi would see a reduction in his salary, while the official, they have not made any determining action towards Kikuchi, but intimated that he could be moved to another division as a result of this, that both would be penalized. But the takeaway being that they are not ceasing ties with Kota Ibushi and instead very much trying to mend fences with him over this. But also absent this press conference was Kota Ibushi not being represented here.
No, although it seemed to be, you know, put forward by the two holding the press conference said, I mean, much of the words that were being said in the press conference were in coordination with Kota Ibushi after a meeting. Yes. That the two of them had. So you would figure that, you know, what was directed to the public was accurate and in line with what Kota Ibushi had to say. But of course, even this was not met without immediate drama, because shortly afterwards, Kota Ibushi did tweet in Japanese here. So, and again, we're relying on translations for a lot of this, but something basically to the effect of him being upset that the specific reasons for why he went on his sort of a public, outbursts were not addressed. And that being the attempted suicide of his mother and that getting him into a very, you know, emotional state. And I don't know if that translation had the updated language embedded within it as part of the press conference, but it was something that was later amended on the New Japan website itself. So still some friction, you know, evidently between the two sides. But I would say from at least a PR perspective, I don't know if New Japan you know, I think they did a very good job, at least, you know, in trying to convey to the audience that they're here to mend fences. They're not reacting aggressively one way or another. They're not, you know, talking shit about Kota Ibushi to their audience, for instance. They seem to be very sympathetic and apologetic. You know, you see the number of bows that they did, you know, at this press conference. I mean, they were very apologetic, not just to the audience, but it also seems like for Kikuchi's words towards Kota Ibushi as well. So some mending of fences at least appears to be, you know, in order, or at least attempted here from both sides.
Yeah, I think that this was certainly a level of addressing the matter, though I will not say that they 100% addressed everything, like why Kota Ibushi was advertised for the New Japan Cup, other, you know, allegations that had been out there. But I will say it did feel that this was not something of trying to sweep something under the rug and just move on quietly. So I think that part is to be acknowledged. But, you know, just based on that immediate response from Kota Ibushi, I do sense, and this was even intimated during the press conference, that, you know, everything is not perfect, you know, on these sides. Like, there is ongoing issues, and that follow-up tweet seemed to reflect that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, so we'll see if there's some follow up. I mean, it seems like much of the issue, at least from New Japan's side of things, is just the appearance at the Just Tap Out show, and somehow that being a breach of their contract. Obviously, what Kota Ibushi has said indicates that there's a lot more issue with New Japan itself. I'm very interested to know if we get any follow up about some of that, some of the things that he's threatened to reveal, or if this just kind of, you know, from New Japan side of things, is their attempt at making sure that all of that is done with. I think,
and how he feels about his pay being cut, if he feels he is justified in everything that he has come forward with.
Yeah, we know the man is very outspoken, and he's clearly not afraid to maybe speak his mind on the internet if there's something that he's not happy with. But I think first and foremost, as was mentioned, you know, in this press conference, I mean, you know, the man has a mother who, I mean, his whole family has been going through a whole lot. So, and that to me is his first priority right now, is to make sure that his mother's okay.
Yes, I think that's, you know, the biggest part of this story that continues to develop.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We'll move on to AEW with a couple of notes, starting off with Dynamite on Wednesday night going against the NBA. So they did 929,000 viewers, a 0.35 in the 18 to 49 demo on TBS. And they were against both the NBA and the NHL. The Heat Celtics game did over 6.4 million viewers and a 2.25 in 18 to 49, finishing first on among everything on television. The NHL was third, with AEW finishing sixth among cable originals, up from last week's number. And I would say that they have been competing very well, especially for the Wednesday night shows, that have not been impacted by moving of networks or moving of time slots. I mean, that has been one positive way of this move to TBS, is that they have not been impacted for their main show, as we compare it to Rampage each week.
I think, you know, they've proven time and time again, they have this core audience that follows their show no matter where it goes, what time slot it goes to. I mean, Rampage on a Friday, moving back and forth from 5:30 to 10 to 11 to 7, whatever, that might be a bit of a different story. But if you're consistent enough on a channel where, you know, people can expect to see the wrestling product, they will follow. So yeah, it's been a positive move so far.
I expect one of these Fridays we'll be going head to head with Rampage at this time.
At 1 p.m. Eastern?
Possible. Who knows?
Maybe.
But nonetheless, I feel there's a very good number competing that well against the NBA, and they will be up against the NHL game. Actually, they will not be against the NHL. SmackDown will be against the NHL tonight, which will be moving Rampage to 6:30 Eastern time. But Tony Khan also did a call with members of the media on Wednesday, going head to head with us on Thursday. So really throwing down the gauntlet there, to promote Double or Nothing. And we've isolated a couple of the clips. And first off, let's start off with All Out. There's been a lot of discussion about where is All Out going to take place this year, given that Chicago has the Forbidden Door card coming up next month at the United Center. So we will start off first, discussing Chicago as a market that has hosted All In / All Out going back to 2018, and why that market is so important to AEW.
Chicago market. I was born in Illinois, and it's a home to me, and I think it's also a home to AEW and great wrestling and some of the best fans in the world. And Forbidden Door will be at the United Center, and I think All Out, that doesn't mean you wouldn't see All Out around Chicago this year or any year, every year going forward. I think Chicago and the Chicago area are so important to AEW. It's in many ways where this whole grassroots movement, even before I got involved, before there was an AEW, where a lot of our stars who were with Ring of Honor at the time put together a great event, All In. And now here we are, approaching 4 years later from the original All In, and still the former Sears Center, now the Now Arena, and what we have been able to create out there, it continues to grow. And I think that's something we'll have to keep in mind, that the tradition of All Out around Chicago is very, very important.
So here's the lesson for all buildings out there. If you want an event to stay, you put that plaque at the side of that building, and they'll be very, very loyal to you. That is certainly something. But listen, Tony Khan is someone that I think has very much learned from history. And one of the key errors that people look back on with Jim Crockett Promotions was how they had established the Greensboro Coliseum as the home for Starrcade. And then there was the year they did it between Greensboro and Atlanta, but that was the big show of the year at the Greensboro Coliseum. And then in 1987, they moved it to Chicago, and it was a big mistake for them. They made less money going to Chicago. They broke the tradition. And I think Tony is very, very aware of trying to create these traditions in different markets. At the same time, it's a market that they have run quite a lot at, as well, but it is a destination spot. It's an easy city to get to for many adjoining states and people traveling. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. that clip would certainly give you a pause of the idea of taking All Out out of Chicago. He was hinting towards the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. And it's another sort of, I guess, indication of just how much he perceives tradition to be important. I'm sure there are other factors too that we might not be considering. You know, like if you're looking to run somewhere in the Northeast or somewhere accessible to the Northeast, are there other places and venues that might be less cost prohibitive, more cost prohibitive than maybe a Chicago? Certainly running in Canada poses its own issues that we may not be aware of, you know, immediately yet.
Anytime you're going to a different country, that's adding, you know, just more logistical problems when you're leaving the country versus something that, listen, it's not like you may see, you know, when they've returned to for some TV in Chicago, like you've seen little dips, but for a big event like All Out, it's going to perform well in Chicago. It's mm-hmm. not like the demand is not there. But Wei mentions Canada, and that's obviously a place that AEW wants to go to. And he was asked about the timeline of when they will be looking to go north of the border.
To Canada, we're expanding right now. We've been back on tour for less than a year. We were shut down for, you know, about a year and a half through the pandemic, where their live event touring was shut down, and now we're back and we're servicing markets in the United States that we'd originally planned to go to back in 2020. And so Canada has been on our list for a long time, and it's something we're definitely going to do in the near future. And I don't have the exact date yet, but I'm really looking forward to bringing AEW to Canada.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like it's something, as we've known, I think it's something that they're considering, but they don't have anything to announce yet. And I think this moves away maybe from some of the suspicion or at least, you know, discussion that All Out will be an immediate show that they might be bringing up here. Maybe it won't be that. Maybe it'll be another maybe it'll be a Dynamite. Maybe it'll be something else.
Yeah, which to me, if I was going to say maybe a Montreal, I don't even know if I would include that. I think the first time you come up here, it should be for like at minimum, like your live Rampage and pay-per-view, especially Toronto, where you're going to get so many people coming up from upstate New York, over to Montreal, from Ottawa. You are going to get so much outside Toronto traffic for an event like that, that will build a weekend around it versus a Wednesday night standalone that I think, I just think it's like limiting what the potential is in a market like this.
I mean, obviously I don't disagree. There are enough people, I think in Toronto alone, I feel that would, you know, do well enough. But again, not knowing what some of the taxing issues are, what the added cost of, you know, getting a whole roster is up here. Is it worthwhile enough to do something like that versus running again in Chicago?
Well, certainly. Yeah. That's what you have to gauge as well about like what the additional people you could put into a venue up here and versus and also taking in Canadian dollars when your expenses are in American dollars. That's always going to be an issue for American based companies. So there you go. The rest of the conference call, you know, he was asked quite a lot of interesting questions on this show, as it pertains to, CM Punk and positioning him in the main event for this show. The fact that they have reached their first $1 million gate for Double or Nothing this coming Sunday. And, also speaking about Ring of Honor, we won't play the whole clip here, but Brandon Thurston did ask him about Ring of Honor and the question of why Tony Khan purchased it himself versus it being an AEW acquisition. And he just said it really was presented by Tony, that it was offered to him there on the spot, and he wanted to avoid a lot of the approval process or whatever process he had to go through. And the price and opportunity was right, and he wants the brand to stand on its own. And also added that the Supercard of Honor show did about 20 times higher than recent ROH shows, calling it their biggest buys in years for the brand.
Yeah. Not that surprising. Again, I don't know if it's a whole lot of new information, you know, as it relates to Ring of Honor. It just sounds like things are still in discussion. And, you know, we look forward to actually hearing a bit of news whenever it occurs.
And also noted that on his spring break in 2002, he made a road trip to attend WrestleMania at the Sky Dome.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he was in your section way.
I wonder. You think he was cheering for Rock or Hogan that night?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. It was a very pro Hogan crowd. I feel
it was hard not to get swept up in Hulkamania that night. Yeah. I have to say.
Yeah, maybe present day Tony wouldn't be cheering for Hulk Hogan, but 2002 mm-hmm. Tony maybe. Yeah. All right. Tonight we've got Friday Night SmackDown from North Little Rock, Arkansas, and what a card they have for you in Arkansas tonight. What are you looking forward to tonight, Wei?
Judging by the preview, nothing.
2 hours. That's what you're looking forward to. 2 hours of content.
I mean, at least as of recording time here, they don't even have a preview out. So somebody will speak, I'm assuming. Somebody will respond, react, you know, whatever buzzword that they want to use.
Yes, people will react, people will talk, and we'll get some matches on SmackDown tonight. So TikTok till 8 Eastern on Fox. Rampage, live at 6:30 Eastern from the Michelob Ultra Arena. We have in the presumed main event, the Owen Hart Cup match between Chris Statlander and Ruby Soho. The winner goes to the finals to take on Dr. Britt Baker. The Young Bucks will be in action against to be determined. I'm sure whatever team is facing them, I'm sure it'll be an interesting match. Like whether they go with like an outside team or whoever it is. I'm sure it'll be, wow, that's a cool pairing, whoever they do choose.
It's possible, or it could just be, you know, Bear Country or something like that. You know, it just could very well be a showcase match if they're not advertising it.
Scorpio Sky will receive a new TNT title from, Tony Khan's office of endless titles that he has in storage. And then Matt Sydal versus Bryan Danielson, featuring William Regal on commentary as well.
Very excited for that one. I mean, you know, two guys who probably haven't met each other. Actually, I wonder if they wrestled in the WWE, but two guys whose careers have actually kind of followed each other from company to company. So I look forward to that one a lot.
The final note I want to throw at you, Wei, is that on today's Talk is Jericho, he had the whole Jericho Appreciation Society to talk about the formation of the group and, more importantly, how they came up with the names for the former 2.0. And Matt Lee, now Matt Menard, had the list of alternate names that he proposed before they reached Daddy Magic Matt Menard. So do you want to hear some of these?
I would love to.
Okay, these were all pitched by one Matt Lee. Summertime Matt Lee. The Hot Property Matt Lee. 99 Degrees Matt Lee. The Finest Cut. Prime Rib Matt Lee. Fine Wine Matt Lee. Hot to the Touch Matt Lee. The Genuine Article. $7 a Gallon Matt Lee. Hunk of Meat Matt Lee. And the best one, the Mississippi Mud Pie Matt Lee.
Wow. I guess I'm just amazed that Daddy Magic ended up being the one that he chose. You know?
Yes, he gives the whole origin of it, as does Ange Parker, of how they arrived at Cool Hand Ange.
Cool. Amazing. I love it. One of the great introductions, I would say, of two sports entertainers. We have a couple super chats here, John, if you want to get to them before we get out of here.
Let's hear from... as waiting, summertime waiting, we'll read the super chats.
So Jizzle sends in a super chat and wants to know, was it wild not to ask TK about Kota Ibushi's New Japan Pro Wrestling allegations in the media call yesterday?
Sure. I mean, I don't think you would have gotten anything out of Tony Khan, but you certainly it was a question that you could have asked about, you know, when you have this Forbidden Door show coming up and if plans have been altered. But I don't think you are getting any kind of response from Tony Khan.
It seems like an issue relatively far removed from Tony Khan's jurisdiction. I mean, we're talking about that at this point, New Japan themselves trying to get a handle of the situation. If I was to bet on it, I would not expect Kota Ibushi as a part of that show. Right now, we don't know. I mean, he's not even healthy.
I don't think there's any possible chance of him being around at all next month.
Not at all. So, I would say it's largely like not a question that I think the media considered relevant to Tony Khan, at least at this time. Let's go to Parker, who sends $5. Thank you very much for the support. He says, John, I just saw your John Pollock meets the WWE Universe video. Will you recreate that with AEW fans when they come to Toronto?
No, I will not. That was a one-time thing done years and years and years ago. I wonder how old those kids are in that video.
They might be AEW fans at this point.
And, they could be. Maybe that kid I gave the Observer to grew up and now, who knows?
Changed his life.
Probably. Maybe he's working on Dark now. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah, probably set the debut in the NXT Breakout Tournament coming up.
That's right. All right. So there you go. Thanks for the super chats, folks. We're back tonight, 10 Eastern, postwrestlingcafe.com, where you get Rewind to SmackDown each Friday night. And to get you set, you can download Tuesday's Ask Away Mailbag Show. Always insightful questions that we get from the Ask Away Mailbag faithful each month.
The questions keep getting better and better. And I don't know if that's just people, you know, recognizing themselves what questions get the best answers out of us, or maybe we're just better at answering the questions. Maybe we're just better people, you know?
You know, I was out on Thursday night and with two people who just were raving about the Post Daily News Show. It's a great addition. It's so great. I'm like, oh, you enjoy it. Because this schedule is a killer. I'm glad you enjoy it. These were also probably
call them out.
I won't by name. They know who they are. Okay. They might be a little biased in their opinions of us, but nonetheless, positive feedback to the Daily News Show.
Well, that's good. And again, if you guys have anything good or bad or critical to say about us or any of the topics today, please leave a comment on the YouTube channel. If you want to get these podcasts directly to your device, become a Post Wrestling Cafe patron along with, and you get, of course, all of our bonus coverage as well of all of our other shows, including Rewind to SmackDown tonight.
That's right. And we'll be live Sunday right after Double or Nothing here on the channel. Double Ice Cap and Espresso patrons will have the option to call in if they choose to do so. We're hoping to hear from some people that are attending the event on Sunday night. So get a wide range of opinions, both live and for viewers at home, of what's a very loaded pay-per-view. We will see if it grows by any additional matches, but we're up to 11 and it will probably be a late start for us on Sunday night, but looking forward to it. It should be a pretty packed edition of the show. So that is it. We're back for Rewind to SmackDown tonight, and that is it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.